If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, we're going to begin in verse 5. In this very short verse of verse 5, the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. Increase our faith. I don't know how many times you've ever done that, but I think when we say, Lord, increase our faith or give me more faith, we might relate more to that request, which is increase my health or give me better health or increase my finances or help my relationships at work, at home, whatever it may be, but increase our faith. We wonder what in the world made the disciples ask Jesus for this. Well, certainly they had heard Jesus say to people, your faith has made you well. And so no wonder they would have thought, well, I need faith so that if I ever get sick, I can have the faith to get me well. Your faith has made you well. Certainly, they had heard Jesus say to them, O you of little faith, implying that they needed more faith than they had. And so here is this question, a request, increase our faith. And the Lord responds immediately in verse 6 with, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And there's a sense in which when you look at Jesus' immediate response, that Jesus more or less is saying, you either have faith or you don't. And I put it that way in the sense that he says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to a tree, be uprooted and be cast into the sea, and it would obey you. Say it's the same thing in the Gospel of Matthew about mountains. He said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to here, and it would move. And so there's a sense in which Jesus is saying, you've either got faith or you don't, because if you had faith just the size of a mustard seed, you could do anything you want. And as he said in the Gospel of Matthew, nothing would be impossible to you. Now, it might be that some folks have thought, well, if I've got the faith the size of a mustard seed, what could I do with the size of a basketball or the size of a boulder? But I believe Jesus is trying to get across a point here about faith. Faith has an object, and our object is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my faith is not strong because I am something. My faith is strong because of the object of my faith, and that is Jesus Christ, and He is perfect. He is the solid rock. We can trust Him. And so Jesus had already told us in the Gospel of John, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so He's saying, if you have faith in me, you can ask me for something. You can ask in my name, and I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, if you get a paycheck, that paycheck is yours. You can take that paycheck to the bank, and if you sign it, if you sign your name on it, you have the authority then to deposit it, or you have the authority to have it cashed, or you have the authority to transfer it, because your signature, your name. Jesus said, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And so increase our faith. He said, well, if you've got faith in me, the size of a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. As a matter of fact, when you look at this verse, I would encourage you to do something. You might do it this afternoon or at least by tomorrow. I want you to go out into your yard or a field or the woods, and I want you to go up to a pine tree or an oak tree or some kind of tree, and I want you to say to that tree, be uprooted and cast into the sea. Y'all think I'm kidding, don't you? I want you to try. I want you to go up to a tree, and I want you to say, be uprooted and be cast into the sea. Now, when you do that, because your pastor has asked you to do it, how many of you believe that tree actually will be uprooted and cast in the tree, into the sea? Okay, so why do we not normally believe that? Well, one of two things. One of the reasons you won't go do it, well, I don't have faith enough to do that. Or what you would say is, I don't believe that the tree being uprooted and cast into the sea has anything that would be a necessity in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. We see what he did say in the next chapter of John, that's John 14, John 15, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So while you're bearing fruit, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. And so we recognize that this faith in God is to be utilized for the sake of his kingdom. And so when you go out to that tree and say, be uprooted and cast in the sea, and it does not obey you, you're going to be saying, either I don't have faith, or this really doesn't have anything to do with the kingdom of God. You do what you want with that, but try it. And if the tree moves, let me know. You know, but you know, isn't it true though that there are other things for which we pray and God answers that prayer because we had faith? Your faith has made you well. Or a lot of times he will say, you have little faith. You should have trusted me for that because I can do anything. But interestingly enough, as you look at this passage, Lord, increase our faith. Well, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you'd be good. But notice what he says in verse 7, but. And he begins to tell a story. As a matter of fact, let's just read two verses together. But which of you, having a slave, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat? Verse 8, but will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink. Let's scoot back to verse 7 now, if we will. Isn't it interesting that if one day you decided, well, I need to read my Bible a little bit, and you just plop open your Bible and you put your finger down on verse 7 and you begin reading this story about a slave plowing, tending sheep, coming in and not sitting down immediately but serving the master, you would never in your wildest dreams say in your mind, oh, this must be a response to the request, increase our faith. You would never say that at all. So we've got to ask ourselves the question, what in the world is Jesus trying to tell us? But how many times would the disciples ask a question or be going somewhere in a conversation, and Jesus may give a brief response, but then he would redirect their thinking. He might would say something that would imply, oh, that's an okay question, but it's not the first question you really need to ask. And so Jesus begins to tell them a story to answer the request. Increase our faith. So I want us to look at that as Jesus redirects our thinking. So here he is, he's telling this story, and he begins to tell this story. A person has a servant, a slave, he's out in the field plowing, or he's out tending sheep, and let me just say this, because of the environment in which we live, it might be good to clarify this. When you see the word slave or servant in the Bible, we certainly do not want to tack on all of United States history in that with all of our racial issues, okay? We don't want to superimpose all of that over in the Scripture. We need to understand that in the context of biblical history, that if you wanted to provide for your family, most people needed to be somebody's servant or slave. For our day and time, the correlation would be much closer to an employer and an employee. And so keep that in mind as we come across that. I would say this, though, certainly, Jesus is my Lord and Master. That being the case, I am his servant. Amen? And so, praise the Lord, we have the privilege of serving him. So as you put that together, here he is telling this story. And he says, think about this scenario. Here is the owner of an estate. He has servants, slaves, and they're out either tending sheep or they're plowing, they're working, and they come in. Does the master immediately say, come and eat? Well, no. The servant is not being done being a servant at that point. And so you see in verse 8, but he will say to him, will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat, properly clothe yourself, and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you may eat and drink. And so as you look at that, he's telling this story about service, authority, honor, work. And so all of these will come into play in answering the request, increase our faith. All right? So as you look at this passage, one of the things I want you to do when you look at verse 8 there, as he says, the master is going to say, prepare something for me to eat, properly clothe yourself, and serve me until I'm done with my meal. Okay, so that's where we're going to draw our sermon points from. How to increase your faith. Look at them, 1, 2, 3. How to increase your faith, 1, 2, 3. Prepare something for Jesus is the first one. Now, let me ask you this question. When's the last time, not you did a piece of ministry, but when's the last time you prepared to do something for Jesus? When's the last time you prepared something for Jesus? This slave coming in from the field, whatever he or she had been doing, had to prepare the meal. I don't know if they were having to slaughter a lamb or prepare whatever, but there was this time of preparation. Now, so when we look at it in our context, sometimes that might mean in the context of the structure of the church, the schedule of the church, but it also might mean during the week because you're a person in the kingdom of God, you're a person in the family of God, Jesus is your Lord, you serve Him, and so He has asked you to do something, and so you prepare to do that. And so I'm not talking about, you know, every now and then, something needs to be done, and nobody else will do it. Well, I guess I'll have to do it. Nobody else will do it. Now, that's not what we're talking about, is it? We're talking about preparing something for Jesus. All right? It's also really not talking about, well, there's something that needs to be done, and it's convenient for me right now. I've got a little time, and people will pat me on the back, and they'll be happy with me if I do that. No. When's the last time you prepared something for Jesus? In your heart, you're saying, Lord, I'm doing this for you, and I'm making preparation for you so that you will be honored with my life. There are a lot of folks who'll be preparing Thanksgiving meals this week, and I would imagine that if you are one of those that has the task of preparing a meal for your family, you've already done prep work for that. You've already been preparing. You're gathering the food, you're gathering supplies, you're getting in your mind how it's all got to work out. And so you're going to spend time preparing that. Otherwise, you won't have actually something to serve. And so you're going to spend time preparing it. People do that preparation things at work. You may have a project you've got to do at work, and there's a lot of prep work that has to be done for that project. And so we think about preparation. Here's one of the things I'd like to ask about that. When we think about preparing something for Jesus, what is our standard for excellence? Now, here's a slave. Been out in the field already, probably exhausted, still has more work to do. And one of the things you and I know is that when we're exhausted and we still have more work to do, we draw strength from the Holy Spirit that otherwise we would not have. Okay? But prepare something, and then what is our standard of excellence? Isn't it true that a lot of times when we're at church or we have some ministry to do, that a lot of times we think people ought to be happy we just showed up? Amen? You ought to be just glad I showed up. A lot of folks didn't show up. Okay? That's one way of looking at it. If you compare yourself to other people, you can find some folks that, well, you look better than they do. But we're not doing it for them, are we? And so if we want to increase our faith, let's remember, that's where, if we want to increase our faith, we want to prepare something for Jesus. And what is our standard of excellence? When you think about people's standard of excellence for work, a lot of folks, if they put the same kind of excellence in at work as they did with the kingdom of God, they'd get fired, amen? You think about standards of excellence in sports. Boy, sports is a fascinating thing. You think you go back about 30 years in sports and you look at all the records, and then you go today, man, those records have been shattered over and over and over. Why? Because the standard of excellence keeps getting stronger and higher and more intense, and the standard of excellence. As a matter of fact, if some folks who are in sports would exhibit and exert as much energy as we do in the kingdom of God, they would either be kicked off the team or at least benched, would they not? What is our standard of excellence? You see, our low standards in serving Jesus reveals our lack of knowledge of His glory. It dishonors Him, and it shows our lack of passion in our service. So, if we would say, Lord, I want my faith increased, then He's saying, prepare something for me. Spend some time with it. Invest for me, for my glory. Number two, clothe yourself. In other words, get cleaned up to show Jesus' glory. You think about this servant coming in from plowing, from working in the field, from taking care of sheep, whatever it was. You don't imagine that they just walked in dirty like that, threw some food together, walked over to the master and said, here. They wouldn't have done that, okay? And so there was that process of getting cleaned up. I remember one day I was mowing the yard and got a call to go be a part of some ministry that was urgent. And so there I am. I'm in short pants and tennis shoes that had grass and dirt all over them. I was sweating and stinking, so I just grabbed my keys, got in the car, and went over like that, amen? Well, no, I mean, I ran inside, and I took a shower, and I got cleaned up, okay? So what does this mean spiritually? Jesus actually wants us to get clean spiritually so that when we serve Him, it brings honor to Him. He's using the physical correlation of the servant getting cleaned up so that when he serves the master, it is showing honor to the master. Well, it does that. We do the same thing when we get cleaned up spiritually. Of course, you and I know that we cannot clean ourselves up spiritually. We need the blood of Jesus, but praise God, we have the blood of Jesus. His blood cleanses us from all sin when we commit ourselves to Him. We get cleaned up. So there is that picture. He said, I want you to prepare something, and I want you to get cleaned up. And now where are we? This is a response to increase our faith. Now how does serving more increase our faith? Well, a lot of different ways. One is that your faith has the object of the Lord Jesus Christ, Him being your object, Him being all glorious. You want to serve Him with excellence. And so you're doing everything you can. That which you cannot do, you are relying upon His blood and the filling of His Spirit to do that which will be an incredible honor to Him. And let me just tell you something. One of the reasons, and we do this not only with just church attendance, I mean, how many folks even prepare for church attendance? I mean, we go all day long Saturday and Saturday night, and we run in here on Sunday. And a lot of times, if it has to do with some kind of service or we're just coming to sit down, we just get here and we're exhausted. We've not prepared at all. But faith would say that if I'm going to take the time that it takes to prepare service for the Lord, then I have to say no to something else. I have to say no to other things if I'm going to spend time preparing. Faith says all the other things that I could be doing that I'm going to be missing out on, or other things that I could be doing that would increase my earthly life, I'm not going to be doing those because I'm going to be spending time preparing. Faith says He will make this more worthwhile than all of that. But that's why a lot of folks don't spend much time preparing, and that's why a lot of times things don't go very well in the kingdom of God, because we've not prepared much. We've been spending our time with worldly things. But it takes faith. It takes faith to get cleaned up. Why? Because I know I can't clean myself up. I know I need the blood of Jesus Christ. And you know, if you're one of those people who are particularly struggling with self-esteem, spiritual self-esteem, maybe you would say in your heart, well, I know I'm unworthy. I've messed up my life. Jesus certainly doesn't want me involved in anything. And I just better not do anything. And some people would look at that, well, they're just having an humble spirit. When actually what's happening is you're dishonoring the power of the blood of Christ to cleanse and the transformation of the presence of Christ to change you. It takes faith to trust Him to clean this mess up. But He can, if you'll trust Him. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. It takes faith. So, prepare something. Get cleaned up. Don't be saying, well, God understands my sin, so He accepts my sin, so I'm just gonna serve Him dirty. He wants to clean you up first. He wants that act of service to bring honor to Him. And He's using this physical example. They wouldn't have come in from the field all nasty to serve Him. It reminds me, you think about one of the things that we do, we try to do it all pretty, as a wedding. Think about all the weddings we've had in here. And you just think about how, boy, all the wedding party, boy, they get all decked out, and the bridesmaids come in, and the groomsmen come in, and boy, they line up, and they're all trying to be all pretty and everything, and the groom comes in, and he's waiting for the bride, and the bride's been spending all her life thinking about this moment, and the doors are about to open, but then the preacher comes in. He's got to come in. The preacher comes in, and he takes front and center, and he's in flip-flops, short pants, and a dirty T-shirt. Have you ever seen that happen? Well, haven't you ever seen that happen? Because the preacher knew that this wasn't about him. But I'm going to tell you what, if I ever did that, you might not remember anything else about that wedding, but you'd remember one thing. What does God remember about me the last time I served Him? See, I might think He's probably happy I just showed up. But it might be He said, you came in so dirty it dishonored me. And of course, He's talking about spiritually. See, we've just written it off that, man, if I just show up and I do a little bit, God ought to be happy with me, because some folks don't even show up. Listen, we're not comparing ourselves to other folks. We're comparing our service to the One who deserves honor. And isn't it interesting that this story is a response to increase our faith? It's like, wait, how does that work? Our faith is in an object of this glorious Lord and Master. And He's saying, so when you serve me, take some time to prepare. And part of that preparation is in prayer, confession, getting cleansed by the blood, so that then you can present your offering, present your service, and actually serve Him. So increase our faith, how, prepare, properly clothe ourselves, get cleaned up, and serve Jesus until He's satisfied. Actually give the service. You know, we have become experts at sitting around in circles and talking about what we ought to do. We've become experts at talking about getting right with God. And we've become experts at doing pretty much nothing about it. So you and I, we want the Lord to increase our faith, but we also want to rush off and do everything else we want to do. And so Jesus is saying, you want your faith increased, increase your investment in me. Quit giving me your leftovers. In other words, if you're going to take the time to serve me properly, you're going to have to say no to something else on your schedule. You're going to have to delete some other things from your schedule. But serve him until he is satisfied. So you get the picture. Here we are. We got the story Jesus is telling. The slave is out in the field. He's taking care of sheep. He comes in, and he's not done. The master doesn't just say, come on and sit down, you poor thing, you're tired. Okay? And let me just stop and say this. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, pour out your heart before the Lord, that we come boldly before the throne of grace. We go to him for what we need. But when you think about this picture, let's just say the master, the owner of the estate, is sitting in his home, and the slave is to go work in the field. Starting in the morning, the slave is to go work in the field. But before the slave goes work in the field, the slave comes in and asks the master for something. Okay? And he goes out in the field and he starts, well, I think of something else. He comes back in and he asks the master for something. Then he goes out and he kind of twinkles around a little bit in the field. Well, comes back in and asks the master for something. Finally does a little plowing and the day is about ending. Comes back in, can I sit down? I'm done. You see what I'm saying? See, most of our spiritual lives have become like that. We've treated God like he's there for us just to go ask him for everything we want for our life rather than we serve, because this servant has been out in the field all day, taking care of sheep all day, comes back in, and is not done. Still a servant, still going to prepare. And then when gets all cleaned up in the meal, then serve me, he says, until I'm done. Until I'm done. You see, you get the idea that the servant's got all the food ready, and here's your food. What else can I do for you? I'm right here if you need anything. Just waiting. Just waiting. This is a response to increase our faith. Now, you might, after reading the story, not ask that question or make that request to the Lord. Increase our faith. How? Prepare something for me. After serving me already, and clean yourself up and serve me until I am satisfied, then you can eat. Now, if you push this to a point, you'll think, well, Jesus is just all self-consumed. And you know that's not true about Christ. This is just one story. But the impact is understanding that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto you. That's faith. That's trusting him that he will be true to that promise. So, when we serve the Lord with all our heart, we can trust, we can have this increased faith that the impact of our honoring him will have mountain-moving results beyond that which we could otherwise do ourselves. Go to verse 9. Verse 9, it says, he does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? In other words, the master is not sitting at the table and saying, oh, you did this for me. You're such a wonderful person. I'm so glad you did this for me. Now, that doesn't mean that God does not appreciate your service. You understand. He's drawing this scenario. But he does not thank the slave for doing what he was supposed to do. That was what he was supposed to do. That was just normal Christian life. You know, when you and I talk about the normal Christian life, what is that? Well, biblically, it is a life of service. And why are we serving him? We are thanking God with our service for all he's done for us. And so the master does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded. No, he did for us a life-changing favor. We're not doing God a favor by serving him. He did for us a life-changing favor when he sent his only son to die for us on the cross. Amen. And so our service is out of this sense of gratitude and appreciation and overwhelming sense of being blessed by God. So, Is that what we're doing? Is that a picture of our life? Look at verse 10. It says, so you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. Boy, that's rough, isn't it? Now remember where we are. Jesus, the disciples, increase our faith. Give us more faith. And then he tells this story. He said, if you want more faith, then you go the second mile. You go the third mile. You serve me until I'm satisfied. You'll find more faith. You'll be so glad that you did. Now, so here's what I want to do. Let's just, each of us, personally, picture ourselves in our service to Christ. When you think about serving your Lord, however you picture that, it can be something, like I say, within the structure of the church. It can be something within the structure of life because we serve Him Sunday through Saturday. And so wherever you see yourself serving Him, let's look at a couple of things. I'll look at myself, you look at yourself. Did I prepare? Did you prepare? Did I prepare it for Him? Or did I prepare it, well, if I do this, this will be enough and they'll be happy with it. Who's they? I'm doing it for Him. And so I'm preparing for Him. So when I think about how I've been serving the Lord lately, did I prepare? Now let me just stop. If in your mind you're thinking, I don't know that I've been serving the Lord at all, well, why not? But did you prepare? Did you get cleaned up? Have you just decided, well, everybody's a sinner, it's okay, I just got sin in my life and it doesn't matter? Well, apparently it mattered to God. So when you think about yourself serving, did you prepare? Did you get cleaned up? Did you actually serve Him until He was satisfied? So much of the time, we have in the back of our mind, or sometimes in the very forefront of our mind, what we want to do otherwise, other than the kingdom of God. It is so pressing on us that everything to do with the kingdom work is shortcutted because we're in a hurry to get to something else. Prepare something. Properly clothe yourself. Serve Jesus until He's satisfied. I believe that the world around us pays attention when we serve the Lord this way. They wonder, why in the world would you invest that kind of time? Why in the world would you worry about how your life looks? Why in the world would you stick with it so long in serving Him until He's done? Why? They want to know why. Because they don't have that kind of commitment in their heart about anything in life but themselves. And they'll want to know what's going on in our life. It provides a marvelous witness. So, and I know I've done this before too. You're looking at, boy, you need to go do something. Like, oh, I just don't feel like it right now. You ever felt like that? Or I just don't want to do that. I don't really like those people. Oh, I didn't say that. No, they say, what do you say? But you know, and so sometimes you just got that, I just don't feel like. But we get to remember along the way that we are serving the Lord. And so if we want our faith increased, Jesus is saying, we'll increase your passion and your intention and intensity and your investment in serving me. It'll take faith to do that. But faith in the one who's trustworthy. And you'll be glad you did. So then as we sing in a few moments, serve the Lord with gladness. It's not with drudgery or with, oh, I'm in a hurry so I can get off to something else. I'm serving the Lord with gladness. I'm right here if you need anything until you're satisfied. So, Lord, increase our faith. And He says, okay, serve me with more heart and soul. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us with such heart and soul that You shed your blood on the cross for us. And Lord, thank you that you are patient with us. Lord, we pray right now that you would give us the faith just to trust you, that if we spend time in preparation, it'll be worth it. Saying no to other things. That we recognize that then we want to serve you in a way that honors you, and so our lives and hearts need to be clean. But Lord, you provided that in your blood, and we thank you. The power that is there is beyond comprehension, but again, not beyond receiving. Cleanse us. Create in us clean hearts. And then, Lord, let us serve you. Have that privilege to honor you. And may we gladly stay right there until you are satisfied. Lord, that your name is gloried, that your name is lifted up, that others about us could see how wonderful you are, that the least we could do is give our lives to serve you, and they too might also be able to come to know you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.